What a bloodbath.
What a bloodbath indeed. So many corpsey running backs. My word.
We thought last year was bad with injuries. It's begun. It has begun.
It was even like after week one, it was like, oh, there haven't been that many injuries. This is nice. This isn't one of those injury riddled beginnings of the seasons. And then week two hits and it's like the plague.
Yeah, it was awful. And there was so much uncertainty going into yesterday, basically, and then it just all fell apart. Or was it this morning? It was yesterday for me, but I think it was this morning.
Yeah, this morning was when all the reports actually came out. And it's like, Adrian Peterson out a few months. Amir Abdullah on the IR. Jonathan Stewart could miss a month. Who knows? Moncrief out 6 weeks.
Martin out three games at least.
Yeah, I managed to dodge all of it but Moncrief, which I feel lucky that I only got hit by one of those players.
Yeah, somehow I've come out of this unscathed. But basically the general fantasy mindset for week three just has to be a survive.
Survive, yeah. Please. It's no longer about winning, it's about surviving.
having players you can actually start.
In the game of throws, if you lose, you die. Get it?
You're going full Tyrion Lannister on us over there.
Full Tyrion on this, yeah.
Let's get into this week's price checks, I suppose.
Price checks is what we're calling the segment that I decided to just name without asking you at all. Like, we're calling it price checks. This is it.
It sounds good. It's catchy.
It is catchy.
And it's what people need to hear with the landscape of the fantasy world right now.
Yes.
Might be dealing with injuries. You know, they're not really satisfied with the waiver wire guys that they picked up. Most of them are basically timeshare backs, if you think about it. So, who can you target, Tyrion Lannister?
Oh, well, thank you. Let's start with a sell, and let's do a price check on who I think is the biggest sell of the week, Ryan Matthews.
Woo! Ryan Matthews. That was such an interesting game to watch, because after week one, you thought, okay, Ryan Matthews is one of these backs who will be somewhat consistent. He'll get the carries. I mean, he was around a 50-50 split with Sproles even in week one. Mm-hmm. But he had 23 carries, scored a touchdown, looked like he was going to be the go-to goal line back, which he still was in week two. But his usage significantly dropped in week two. He was basically a ghost in the first half.
Yeah, it's really concerning. I think the sort of thing to point to that you can see that moves from week one to his usage in week two is, he was already splitting snaps with Sproles. And then in week two, in week one, his yards per carry were only 3.5. He wasn't super efficient at all with his touches. He just kind of bailed you out with a touchdown. And then week two, he enters, and they were clearly like, well, Sproles seems to be giving us like a little bit more spark, a little bit more dynamic. Let's just roll with Sproles. And only nine carries for 32 yards, one reception, 10 total touches is not what you hope for from what we thought was going to be a workhorse. And he only gets 3.5 yards of carry again, but he falls in the end zone twice from the 1 yard line. One of them was actually really impressive where he like bounced off a defender and cut back out and got the touchdown.
Yeah, we do have to mention that's going to skew his yards per carry a little bit because he received two goal line carries. He scored on them. So, I mean, the most he can get out of that is 1 yard.
Yeah.
But he got the touchdowns. The numbers are a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for here for Ryan Matthews? Elusive, I suppose.
They're definitely
not the most apt description for Ryan Matthews. I don't know if he's the most elusive back, but
these don't feel like reproducible. Yeah, they're deceiving. These don't feel like reproducible numbers. When two touchdowns make up the bulk of your production, it's a red flag. And that's sort of the main motivation behind selling them is the huge decrease in workload, of being on the field even. It was even like, is he healthy? Is he even in this game until the fourth quarter?
Yeah, nobody knew. Twitter was ablaze with, is he in the doghouse? Is he nursing an injury that we don't know about? Why isn't Ryan Matthews on the field? And early in the game, they were giving goal line touches to Sproles. It took, actually, on that last touchdown that he scored, they gave Sproles the first crack at the end zone. And then after he got stopped, they were like, all right, it's fourth down. We just want to salt this game away. Let's put in our bigger back. And then they handed the ball to Matthews, and he kind of just pounded it in from 1 yard out. So right. Definitely deceiving stat lines. I mean, week one was more of a impressive overall performance. Week two was a little bit more deceiving. But because he's put up 13 and 15 fantasy points respectively, and there are, I'm sure, in your league, there are running back needy teams, mm-hmm. there might be a deal out there where you can really exploit somebody's desperation for a running back. And Ryan Matthews has attractive numbers right now, so you might be able to go and sell him for, like, you know, a high-end wide receiver if you need help wide receiving.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if you can go sling him for a running back at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to sort of look at these sell highs and buy lows as like, well, you could trade this running back for this running back, because trades very rarely go that way, of just like a one-for-one in the same position. It's always like, well, why would I do this? What do you know that I don't? So you kind of have to look at the like another position. Unless, you know, you're trying to build the bigger package, which that's usually how I try to do it, of like, oh, if I want to upgrade my running back, I package in a wide receiver and then try to get a better running back out of it. But let's say it's going to be a one-for-one and you look a wide receiver. I think you treat Ryan Matthews as an RB1, like a low-end RB1, you know, like the 10th to 12th best running back. Sell him like that. I think kind of the perfect target is like Allen Robinson. I think you could swing Ryan Matthews for Allen Robinson, and it's, I think, likely to work out in your favor, because Ryan Matthews is going to regress to this, like, I think a mid to low end RB2 is kind of his best case actual scenario. You know, he's a goal line back who gets low volume and isn't super efficient with what he gets. So he needs a touchdown or he's a bust. Whereas Allen Robinson is sort of, you hope, poised to bounce back. I mean, he got followed around by Verrett all of last week, so you hope this looks better for him in the future. But yeah, I think that's my move with Ryan Matthews, is, you know, sell him as a low end RB1 if you can. If not, it's not a big deal to hold on to him. It's just he's, you know, I see him as an RB, a low-end RB2 the rest of the way.
Or you could potentially package him with another player to get a better running back.
Yeah.
Because he has the numbers. You can convince the owner of, say, I don't know if the David Johnson owner would be crazy enough to give up David Johnson.
They'd have to be really desperate.
If you really believe that Gurley is going to bounce back, I bet you could trade Ryan Matthews for Todd Gurley as part of a deal.
Yeah, I bet you could package in some, like, low-tier player and get a Gurley out of that. Like, you could probably do, like, let's say they're, like, really desperate for running back depth. You could probably do, like, Ryan Matthews and, like, what's a good, like, lower-end running back? Like, maybe, like, Frank Gore, TJ Yeldon for Gurley. They might do that. If you want to package in a wide receiver, like Ryan Matthews and Travis Benjamin for Gurley, that would probably work.
I mean, I would just offer a one-for-one right now.
See if the Gurley
owner is in full Jody Fofo panic room mode, and if they are done with him after his first 2 weeks.
It's possible.
Which they shouldn't be, but it is possible. And then they might be skeptical. If that's the case, then you can add a little bit more and be like, okay, well, you know, I'm willing to up the price for Todd Gurley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's generally our move, is kind of, I guess, start on what you think is going to be a little too low, you know, and then kind of move up from there if you can. But I find a lot of the times when I try to do that, the dialogue just immediately ends. Like, they're just like, nope. Or they just, like, reject the trade, and then it's...
Yeah.
They've lost interest in talking. But, you know, depending on how close you are with your league mates, I think that's a good strategy.
Yeah, I kind of go the other way, because you don't want to put a sour taste in their mouth by lowballing them. Because typically when you get lowballed with a trade offer, you don't even want to continue the conversation.
That's true.
You're just like, okay, yeah, no thank you, reject, I'm not even going to talk to you. So I tend to go a little bit too high just to see if they're actually interested in selling the player. Because if you offer them a package you think is more valuable than what you're returning, and they still say no, then you know that they're just, nothing is going to convince them to sell the player. But if they like, oh, actually, that sounds interesting, and then you kind of change the narrative a bit, being like, actually, you know, watching Todd Gurley's first two games in the landscape of the running back right now, I don't know if I can give up this package for just Todd Gurley. And then you kind of bring the price down a little bit and see if they're willing to entertain the conversation from that point, because at least they're not insulted because you offered them something good at the start.
That's true. Yeah, I support the strategy. Do that one instead. Bench Dash will steal seal of approval.
Yeah, so other players we want to sell high on. So we've said our Ryan Matthews piece. How about another running back? This one is a full-blown out workhorse running back, and we saw him absolutely dominate the Thursday night game last week. One, Matt, running is my forte.
Ooh, a price check on Matt Forte. All right, let's hear it. Give me your piece.
Well, my piece on Matt Forte is that, well, first of all, I have to say he has looked like the Matt Forte of old, essentially. The narrative coming into the season, essentially, was that it would be a split backfield between Powell and Matt Forte. And even before that, there were concerns that Kiri Robinson would vulture the goal line work. Well, 2 weeks into the season, that all was a complete myth. You know, Bilal Powell is nothing more than a handcuff, a high-end handcuff right now. And Forte is touching the ball at insane rates. So he is their clear workhorse back. He's getting all the goal line work. He's doing everything for the Jets offense right now. And he's kind of opening up the field. The Jets offense all of a sudden looks elite, right? Through a couple weeks of the season. I mean, not elite, but they look like they're high-powered offense. And I think a lot of that's on the back of Matt Forte.
Yeah.
Because teams are kind of, oh, we have to stop the run. And Fitz is just picking deep. We saw it against Buffalo. He picked them apart with these deep passes. I mean, Decker is getting his, Marshall's getting his, and Nunez is getting his. So Matt Forte has a lot of value right now. And especially when you look at the entire running back landscape of fantasy, we've already lost a few to injury. The workhorse back is starting to become a thing of old with so many teams transitioning to these running back by committees, or even just lowering the snap counts for the running backs to try to conserve them and raise the efficiency. Well, Forte is one of these true workhorse backs right now. But where the concern lies is that he is older, right? He's getting a ton of touches, and his schedule doesn't exactly get easier from here on out.
No, his schedule gets very difficult. To provide some context, Cincinnati is the 16th best against the run and Buffalo the 20th. So far he's had a neutral matchup and an easy matchup. And his upcoming three slates are Chiefs, Seahawks, and Steelers, and they are the third, first, and fourth best against the run. So these next three are all top four run defenses. He's about to run to a brick wall, basically.
Yeah. So this would be the time. I mean, if you look at that schedule, you look at the narrative with an older back that is getting just peppered with usage. And, I mean, he screams sell high. I mean, I know the skepticism will be, well, he is a true workhorse back. Why would I trade that at this point? You know, what would be the benefit to my team? Well, we can't comment on all of your teams, obviously. It depends on your team makeup. Right. But if you can go out and upgrade the rest of your lineup by trading Matt Forte, then he is a prime sell high. But you have to sell him as one of the top five running backs in the game right now.
Yeah.
Which is quite easy to do with, again, what is happening to all the other running backs around the league. You could just say, look, I'm giving you a true workhorse running back, part of a good offense that will give you touchdowns, that will give you goal line work, that will give you, you know, 25 to 30 touches a game. And then you try to, again, one for one for another running back probably doesn't make any sense. So you have to look at either really shooting high and going for somebody like, I don't know, a package for Lev Bell or a package for David Johnson.
Yeah.
Or if you need wide receiver help, then you go out and you try to get an elite wide receiver with Matt Forte. But you could probably sell Matt Forte as somebody who you could, let's say, we used Allen Robinson before. So Look at the Allen Robinson owner if you need wide receiver help. Offer a Matt Forte for Allen Robinson plus another piece. Because A-Rob's value is quite low right now in some owners' eyes. Now, a lot of us assume that he'll bounce back, right?
Right.
But he hasn't really performed yet, and Forte has blown up. So you could probably sell it that, okay, Forte is worth more than this A-Rob right now, especially with the scarcity of the running back position, right? We're seeing all these low-end wide receivers kind of put up huge numbers. I mean, Diggs did it last week. We've seen Willie Snead. We saw Corey Coleman do it before he broke his hand.
Yeah.
So the whole zero RB versus zero running back thing, I mean, it goes both ways. But it's always been a fact. Even the zero RB people will tell you that running back scarcity is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have this workhorse running back, you can sell him as that. And I think he's worth more than Allen Robinson in a one-for-one. So you go out and try to get Allen Robinson plus, you know, another running back, maybe a lower-end running back. So you won't lose the depth, but you'll gain a potentially elite wide receiver. So how do you view Matt Forte?
I'm definitely with you. Yeah, I'm on the same page. You're selling him as a top-five running back because when healthy, he's probably still going to be an RB1 the rest of the way just from sheer volume. There's a little bit of concern with his health and his age. Can he hold up to 30 plus touches a game? I would vote no. I don't know if you need to sell solely based off of health right now. It's only been two games. No. That's sort of a conversation for further into the season. But the idea is you're not just selling him because he's going to fall off a cliff next week, but because right now you can get him, sell him as a top five running back. So yeah, like Allen Robinson plus, I would definitely do. Who I like not really as a strong buy low, but someone you might be able to get in this package is Lamar Miller, just because like he hasn't gotten the end zone yet. He's only broken double-digit fantasy points once so far this season. So you could probably do like Matt Forte for Lamar Miller plus two for like Lamar Miller and a lower-tier wide receiver, and I'd happily do that because I think Lamar Miller is going to improve as the season goes on, whereas, you know, we're expecting Matt Forte to regress.
Oh, I really like that, actually. And you could probably, like you said, you could get a plus piece to Lamar Miller, too.
Yeah.
Possibly. I mean, these are trade ideas to entertain, and you can control the narrative completely with Matt Forte. But if you're not getting the right return, then you just hold him. Because like Leo just said, you know, you shouldn't be trading him because he might potentially get hurt. That's never a reason to trade somebody unless they're Sammy Watkins, and you just get rid of him. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Sammy's done. You're not going to hear him in our buy list. We considered it for a second, but it's not even worth it. I think that kind of wraps up the Forte thought. Sell him as a top five running back and try to get one of these studs that hasn't fully broken out yet, and Allen Robinson or Lamar Miller or like Odell Beckham. You might have to. I don't know about Matt Forte for Odell Beckham. That you could probably do that straight up one for one, and I'd probably do that honestly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it depends on what the rest of your team looks like.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of possibilities with Matt Forte right now. I mean, you could even shoot to the upper echelon of the running backs if you package it right. You know, David Johnson, Arians came out and was kind of getting on Johnson a little bit this last week.
Yeah.
So you can kind of try to scare the Johnson owner and be like, look what, you know, CJ2K, he had a role this last week. Disregard the fact that they're blowing Tampa out of the water. Just forget that. But he had a role.
Yeah, you know what deal I wouldn't hate would be Matt Forte and Diggs for David Johnson. I bet you could get that deal done. I love Diggs. I think he's going to regress some. I don't think I could be very wrong, but I don't think Diggs is going to be a top five wide receiver the rest of the way. A wide receiver one's in the conversation, like lower end. But, you know, if you can sell, basically what we're saying is you're selling what's actually like a low-end RB1 and a low-end wide receiver one for a top three running back, like, yeah, I would do that.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Forte and Diggs or Forte and Snead or Forte
Snead,
and anyone that's kind of in that range of wide receiver for David Johnson. Woo! Do it.
Woo, woo. All right. So let's go on to
Who's our last
sell. A price check on
Fat
Jerry Langford. Boom.
Okay. We should put an asterisk. This is it, like if anyone is willing to buy Langford
Yeah, this is different because it's not like you're selling him like he's elite. you're selling him like he's a starter, period, when we don't think he will be.
For much longer, right? Now, yeah. You probably have to target somebody that hasn't watched the Chicago games. Maybe it's just looking at their numbers. Because Langford has scored in both the games, which has essentially saved his stat line.
Yeah.
Like, he's produced, you know, 10, 9 points in each of the games because of the fact that he scored a touchdown. You know, if you take that away, then he had completely meager production from Langford.
Yeah.
In fact, he got called out by his coach after the week one game against Houston and said, you know, look, we need more right now. We're just not getting any production out of the running game. There's no yards after contact. It's basically, you know, a feather touches Langford and he's down on the ground. Someone sneezes, he's fallen over. He can't break any tackles, essentially. And then we saw that rear its ugly head. If you watch the Monday night game against Philly, he had the first series, essentially got one carry, was blown up. And then I guess he ran an incorrect route. And we know how Jay Cutler hates when his running backs or receivers does the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So Cutler was yapping at him, and then he was on the bench for a couple series.
Right.
Nadeem Carey came in, was highly ineffective as well, but he was a body. And then he got hurt. So Fox, because he hates to play rookies, was like, all right, Langford, you can come back in. And Langford was still ineffective. He had, I think, one run, which was like 10 yards or something. But then outside of that, he was just getting stuffed left and right. And then he fumbled to cap off his night in the beginning of the fourth quarter and was never heard from again.
Yeah.
So concerning if you're a Langford owner, but because he's fallen into the end zone the past couple weeks, you can still sell him as a starter. And yeah. Now would be the time to do it because I really think his hold on that backfield is loosening. I wouldn't be surprised if in week three it's more of a committee. I think it will start as a committee. And then if Howard performs better, J-How, my boy, then Langford might just outright lose the job within the next 3 or 4 weeks, maybe even sooner than that.
Yeah. It's really trending that way. Let's run down a list here of I'm going to rattle off some wide receivers, and you tell me at what point you would not deal Langford for one of these wide receivers.
Okay.
Jordan Matthews.
Oh, jeez. I would trade Langford for Matthews in a heartbeat.
We're starting high.
Yeah.
Eric Decker.
Yep, still Decker.
T.Y. Hilton.
Hilton.
Jeremy Maclin.
Maclin.
Jarvis Landry.
Landry.
Willie Snead.
This is where I think about it, but I think I still choose Snead.
Stephon Diggs, I assume, is a yes.
Diggs, all the way.
Julian Edelman.
That's interesting. I would take Edelman, though, because Brady's due back in a few weeks.
Yeah. Marvin
and
Jones.
And he's a quarterback.
And he's a quarterback. Think about
he's
that,
he's a quarterback,
man.
Too. Think about it. He can throw to himself, man.
Man.
Extra fantasy points.
If you got Julian Edelman, you have to start him this week because he might be the quarterback by the second half. Oh, man.
And he'll get stats for that, too, won't he?
I have no idea how Yahoo or ESPN would handle that. If he was the quarterback in the second half and he threw, like, 3 touchdowns, like, what? Would that count?
You would have to give him the points, right? If you had him in, like, your wide receiver slot and he catches a touchdown in the first pass and then throws for 3 more in the second, like, what?
If that didn't count, like, there'd be a riot.
I'd just quit the league if that happened.
Edelman,
yeah. I would trade Langford for Edelman.
Marvin Jones.
Yep, Jones. So far, everyone.
Demaryius Thomas.
DT.
Travis Benjamin.
This is where it gets... I mean, Travis Benjamin is somebody you could probably sell high after last week.
Yeah.
If we're talking about sell highs, because he had a monster game. But he's... Yeah, no, that offense is... They're hard to read right now.
Yeah.
With where the targets are going to go in the passing game. Jeez, I don't know. That might be a wash for me.
Like, Randall Cobb, is that the same kind of thing where you're like, maybe, maybe not?
Honestly, I would almost trade Langford for whatever I could get that I could put in my lineup at this point. So, yeah, I guess I would trade Langford for Cobb. I'd have to think about it for Travis Benjamin, but I might end up pulling the trigger on that one as well.
Let's jump down a little bit to where I think, like, Sterling Shepard.
I'd take Shepard.
Oh, man. Mike Wallace.
Okay, I keep Langford.
Okay, so we found a line. The line is like a top 30 to 35 wide receiver. It's basically what you're willing to take for Langford.
Langford has me spooked. Luckily, I don't own him anywhere. But if I own Langford, I would be trying to get rid of him as soon as I possibly could. Because you might not be able to sell him at all in the upcoming weeks. Now he still is technically a starter. And with teams dealing with, you know, the running back apocalypse of 2016 that has already begun, somebody might be willing to take a flyer on Langford if you sell it the right way. Like, look, he's still the starter. It's going to be tough with the way Chicago's offense is running right now. So I think you take what you can get for Langford. If you have to package somebody else with him to get like an upgraded wide receiver, an upgraded running back, then you do that as well. But yeah, I mean, I want Langford off my team.
him out of here. I don't want that trash here.
Get him out of here because, you know, if you wait a couple more weeks, he might be a drop. If he becomes a distant, you know, second behind Jordan Howard, I'm not saying it's going to happen immediately. Mm-hmm. I think Fox is going to give Langford a chance to work his way out of the funk, but he's definitely in the doghouse right now. So he's, I mean, if he comes out and he doesn't get anything going on the first couple of drives or he fumbles again, he might be on the bench for the foreseeable future.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. He's like a hard sell this week. Like Ryan Matthews, Matt Forte. Matt Forte is like a soft sell, but he's a sell. Ryan Matthews, a little bit harder of a sell. Jeremy Langford is like, get rid of him this week. Get rid of him while you can.
Yeah, Fat Jerry. I mean, I'd take one of Chicago's deep dish pizzas for Jerry Langford at this point. Fat Jerry.
Boom, there it is. For one pizza.
There's the line. There's my line.
There's your line. Deep dish pizza. All right. Let's move on to some sells or some buys. Those were the sells, Derek. Moving on to the sells.
Yeah. We did mention Travis Benjamin in there. Yeah. You might be able to take advantage of his one monster week against Jacksonville last week. But then again, you know, he is the wide receiver one in San Diego now.
I think it's like a 1A, 1B with him and Tyrell. And Tyrell's kind of like the bigger, like physically stronger player. He kind of profiles more as the Keenan Allen replacement than Travis Benjamin.
But yeah, there's some dominant wide receiving core they have in San Diego. Travis Benjamin and Tyrell Williams, baby.
Tyrell.
I mean, they made it work last week. I mean, I think what we have to say about San Diego right now is Melvin Gordon's about to eat.
Yeah, I mean, Melvin Gordon, it's hard to say if he's a buy because he's really performed well both weeks. So you're paying a lot to buy him. But assuming that Dexter McCluster doesn't just like eat up all that passing down work, which I don't see that happening, then like he could be a top five running back the rest of the way.
It could be. He's looked markedly better than he looked at any point last season.
Yeah.
He's looking more like the guy that they drafted from Wisconsin to be.
Yeah.
That kind of elite talent because he was drafted. I mean, he was being mentioned in the same name as Todd Gurley. And we saw who had the better year last year.
Yeah, people were talking about it like a 1A, 1B of like, Todd Gurley's a little better, but Melvin Gordon is right there with him.
Yeah, I mean, potentially, I don't want to say this as a Gurley owner, but we could see like a complete reversal this year.
Doesn't look good for Gurley, and Melvin's on the much better offense, which is what we're kind of seeing is very important.
I still think that Gurley is the better talent by a long shot,
but
he's just dealing with a really, really bad situation. And unfortunately, in fantasy, that's most of the battle, really, is opportunity. And Todd Gurley doesn't have a good opportunity. But going into the people that we would buy.
The buys.
How about we, one of the wide receivers you mentioned in the whole Langford spiel was Sterling Shepard.
Buy on Sterling Shepard.
What do you think?
I like that quite a bit. I think I've kind of flip-flopped a little bit on Sterling Shepard. After week one, I would have called him...
My flippy floppies.
My flippy floppies. I was kind of calling him a sell after week one because I saw Cruz sort of emerging and being like a version of himself. And I was like, oh, this is like a 2A, 2B. I don't know. They're going to cannibalize each other. He got a touchdown. Get rid of him. But then week two, I mean, it's against the Saints, who are like just a truly awful defense. So it's like take it with a grain of salt. But still, he plays 94% of snaps. He gets 8 targets, catches all of them, for 117 yards. He was like clearly the like actual number two in that offense, at least for 1 week. He was sort of a touchdown away from having a monster game. And that's kind of what I like to target when I'm looking for buy lows at any position is high yardage, lots of targets, high snap percentages, but no touchdown. Because that's sort of like, you know, they end up like at around like 10, 11 points. So people that don't really read the full stat line are looking to it, like, ah, he was okay. But, you know, the touchdowns are coming unless you're Melvin Gordon last year. You know, he's going to get touchdowns. I'd say probably like 50% of the time would be my guess. I think 8 to 10 touchdowns is a fair guess for Sterling Shepard on the season.
Yeah, I mean, in the words of Eddard Stark, touchdown is coming.
Touchdown is coming. So I think in some ways, yeah, he's kind of a prime buy low because, yeah, it's, what, 10 fantasy points last week, 11 this week. So he's probably being viewed as like a low-end wide receiver two or like a flex. People are probably looking at him as like their wide receiver three. But I think he kind of vaults up into like a pretty firm wide receiver two the rest of the way. So, yeah, and the reason he's a buy this week is because they're going up against the Washingtons. And
the Denzel Washingtons?
The Denzel Washingtons. And whereas in week one and two, Norman just played his side of the field, they specifically said Norman's going to shadow Odell the whole game. They're just like, no, we're going to take Odell out of it. That's it. And so who's he going to go to? Odell will still get his. He'll still, you know, Eli's not afraid to throw to Odell under any situation. But, you know, Shepard is going to be against Breland, who's been getting burned so far all season. So... I think we're going to see a similar stat line to last week. But now, you know, if he gets a touchdown, then all of a sudden everyone's like, whoa, whoa, wait a second. 16, 17 fantasy points from Sterling Shepard. Who is this guy? What? And then, you know, it's too late to buy low. Then you're buying him at value.
I mean, Sterling Shepard, the best rookie wide receiver not named Corey Coleman.
Poor Corey Coleman.
Poor Corey Coleman, man. We could have a whole segment on just how sad the Browns season has been so far.
Yeah.
I mean, I legitimately feel bad for Cleveland fans right now. That's just a shit show, what is going on for them. But anyway, Sterling Shepard, I like it. Yeah, I mean, you were saying that it could be a 2A, 2B with Victor Cruz. Why not a 1A, 1B with Sterling and Odell?
Hey, man, so far this season, that's kind of how it's looked. I think the sort of the real silver lining here is that this offense is actually humming along really well, and I think it can kind of support three wide receivers maybe because we saw Cruz got 8 targets last week too and had a nice little game. Odell had 11 targets and, you know, had 86 yards on it, no touchdown also. But, you know, all three of them actually had pretty productive weeks. It was just who got the touchdown, and it happened to be didn't Cruz get the touchdown last week, right? So I think this is actually an offense that can support all three of them, which is the outcome that I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and Eli's just going to be slinging it.
Yeah.
I mean, just piggybacking off of this, thinking about the whole offense in general, it could mean that Rashad is going to come out of a slump eventually. If they're slinging the ball down the field with authority, then teams are going to have to respect that. Theoretically, that should open up the running game. I'm just imagining a situation where my newly acquired piece, Rashad Jennings, puts up a monster week against Washington, which could also happen. Yeah. I like the Shep as a buy. Who else would we have as a buy low?
I think a perfect buy low, because you could actually get him for very cheap. Like Shep, you kind of have to pay up like a running back 3 probably to get him, you know, or a running back 4. Like you're giving up something that has some value, but a perfect buy low that you can get for dirt cheap probably would be
Arian Foster.
No, I'm just kidding. Let's do a price check on John Smokey Brown.
The price check would be free.
It
would be free at this point. John Smokey Brown, somebody we've been beating the drum of all offseason.
Yeah.
He's been off to an abysmal start, but it's not like we should have not seen this coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it should have been relatively expected because he missed the entire offseason. The Arizona offense has been struggling, or they were struggling until, I guess, last week.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the New England game, they didn't look like themselves. Like, they put up a better performance in the second half of that game, but then last week they kind of turned it on a little bit against Tampa. So this, you were talking about this off air, but week one was essentially John Brown's first preseason game, and it looked that way. I mean, he only got targeted four times, had one catch for 8 yards. Last week wasn't much better, to be fair.
No.
He only had one catch. This time was for 14 yards. But so far, he's been outplayed by the other Jay Brown on that team.
Jerome Brown.
Yeah. So John Brown is free at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Or he should be. I mean, you should be able to get him for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah.
And I think now, this week, we'll start to see his usage kind of slowly climb.
Yeah.
I know we kind of mentioned this last week. We might have been a little bit preemptive with that. I think it's going to come within the next few weeks because really this is still preseason for John Brown.
Yeah.
An article came out that was talking about how he doesn't really feel like himself in terms of being in game shape yet because he didn't have an offseason. But he's just starting to get to that point now entering week three. So I think he is definitely a prime target to buy low just because of how low you can get him right now. I mean, I mean, he might be on the waiver wire, or he might have been on the waiver wire.
I wouldn't be shocked. I think we're probably a week or two away from people just straight up dropping him. You could get him for so cheap, and he has an incredibly soft matchup this week in Buffalo, who we saw just get lit up by the Fitzpatricks last week. Like a Christmas tree. So that's kind of why he's a buy right now instead of like, well, wait another week, you know. Let his value get even more depressed. Maybe you can just pick him up for free. But yeah, this could be a matchup where he, you know, we saw the Jets just throwing deep all over Buffalo with ease. We could very well see that happening this game with the Cardinals. And if John Brown plays more snaps, which, you know, reports suggest he will, then all he needs to do is catch one 60-yard touchdown, and all of a sudden, oh, John Brown's back, and then he's not, you know, he's not cheap anymore.
The hype is back. I mean, he is one of those hypey players. A lot of analysts have been kind of on John Brown, conveniently have been off him lately, you know, when the players don't perform. We just forget that we ever talked about them. Mm-hmm. But John Brown this week against Buffalo, like you said, I mean, we saw guys like, Greg Salas.
Yeah, he got two touchdowns, didn't he? I think he did.
Yeah, I mean, just eating them alive in the deep game.
Marquise Goodwin. it was a bizarre game to watch because I picked up. That was Buffalo lighting up the Jets. But yeah, it was a weird game because it was
back and forth. Yeah,
Anunua was just eating all over them.
But yeah, I think Brown has a chance. I mean, he is kind of the deep threat on that team. We know that Fitzgerald is their slot receiver. And to be honest, Floyd has kind of underperformed as well.
Yeah.
He put up a line of 2 catches for 8 yards last week, but he was saved by a touchdown.
Yeah.
Which is concerning because Michael Floyd was, I mean, I think ADP-wise, he might have been the highest of the Arizona wide receivers going into the season.
He was very hyped up.
John Brown was the lowest, I believe.
Yeah, I think he was. Yeah, I think
Floyd,
it was Floyd, Fitz,
and then Brown.
Yeah, because Floyd and Fitz were like right side by side, and then John Brown was like a round or two later. Floyd, I'm kind of out on Floyd. I'm not really buying low on him because he's, as far as we know, he's healthy. He played all of preseason, and he is, right now he should be benefiting from John Brown not being himself, and he's not. He's not performing. So yeah, I think Floyd might be a sell, but the problem is that Floyd's name isn't, I feel like it's not as hypey as John Brown's because he only did it for half a season.
Yeah, John Brown, I don't really know why his ADP was so low. I mean, before the concussion news came out, then it made sense.
Yeah.
But even before that, his ADP was lower than Floyd's. It was lower than Fitzgerald's. And he looked like the best wide receiver towards the end of the season for Arizona before Floyd kind of went on his like mini hot streak towards the end.
Yeah.
But there was the time from when Fitzgerald, like the midway point of the season where he kind of cooled down, and then to the point where Floyd kind of took off, where Brown was the clear number one receiver in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Analysts love him because of his, you know, his quickness off the line of scrimmage, his route running capabilities. He's a smaller guy, but he's able to get open, kind of in the same mold that like an Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown gets open. He's quick. He's shifty at the line of scrimmage. He's a good route runner. Both of them aren't really big guys. I'm not saying John Brown's Antonio Brown, even though they have the same last name. But
you're not saying that, but you are saying that.
But I am saying that. Just like I'm going to say that Dwayne Washington is David Johnson.
Yeah.
In a minute here. But we'll get to that later in the show. But yeah, John Brown, I guess to summarize the situation, if you have John Brown, you should definitely hold on to him because the likelihood is that you didn't draft him to really be a starter. Mm-hmm. You might have drafted him as your wide receiver three, you know, somewhere around the sixth or seventh round. And if that's the case, then he's not hurting you yet unless you're dealing with a wave of injuries.
Yeah,
you can afford to leave him on the bench because he is still more valuable than anyone you can pick up on the waiver wire at this point, unless somebody is a complete numbskull. Go back to third grade for a minute and dropped, you know, like an amazing player. But, I mean, look at all the waiver wire ads. I mean, would you rather have, like, Brandon LaFell or John Brown?
I'd rather have John Brown. Yeah,
John Brown. Would you rather have who else was a hot wide receiver pickup? I guess Anunua. Anunua is interesting because he's producing right now, but season long, I'd still rather have John Brown.
Yeah, Anunua's the guy you want if you're like, oh, I only have two healthy wide receivers and like one of them isn't performing. I need someone to fill in this week. Then I guess I'd rather have Anunua. But yeah, John Brown for the rest of the season for sure.
Yeah, so if you have him, hold him. But, you know, if you don't have him and you're looking for somebody that you can kind of stash that might explode this week, I mean, fantasy football, it's all about making the move before the explosion happens.
Yeah.
That's how you win your championships. If you can, you have the foresight to pick somebody up on the waiver wire or make a trade for somebody before they explode, just by following what beat writers are saying, following game situations a little bit more closely, then that's how you're going to win. And this could be one of those moves going against Buffalo this week where you go out, you knock on John Brown, the John Brown owner's door, you give them a meager offer and they accept just because John Brown is basically done nothing. I mean, he's put up like 2 points on the season. So, I mean, if you can scoop him up, he goes off this week, then you're set.
Yeah. I am with you on the John Brown hype train. Okay, let's do... Let's do another buy. Trying to decide between which of these two to go
Hit
on
me.
To next. Let's do a price check on Mark Ingram.
Marky Mark.
Yes, we like him as a buy low.
Marky Mark. How disappointing his season has been so far.
It's been not a great start, for sure.
It has not been a great start. Mark Ingram, the narrative coming into the season was that he was one of these backs that would see work in the receiving game, that he would be the early down back. I mean, close to a workhorse was the narrative going into the season. Yeah. I don't know if people were saying he's going to be like an 80%, 70% guy, but the narrative was that he was going to be their pass catching back, which would give him that extra value, which is why he was taken in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Week one against Oakland, he only played in 40% of the snaps. Not good.
Yeah.
Week two against New York, Kadett was still eating into his passing time, but he did see some more targets, which was promising.
That's kind of the silver lining, is that he still got the most targets on the team still. He got four targets, and he had the biggest share of the carries, too. They only carried the ball 13 times, which is really weird, but he got 9 of those 13 carries. So you assume that the running volume has to go up some. Like, they're not going to be limited to 13 carries a game regularly. And so if he continues with that sort of market share of the carries, then he should bounce back.
I mean, I'm looking at New Orleans, and I'm thinking that they need to kind of look at what they have right now.
Yeah.
Basically, against Oakland, we saw this. They were just passing the ball with will because they knew that they had to run up the score because their defense wasn't going to do anything.
Right.
But another way to look at it is, like, okay, you just need to keep your defense off the field at this point. Yes, you have an elite quarterback in Drew Brees who releases a ball with insane accuracy, really, and he's kind of a gunslinger, even though he's like 80 years old. He's still incredibly effective.
Yeah,
you have a solid receiving core, and you have Mark Ingram. I mean, the recipe is there to be a good running team. Their offensive line is mediocre, let's be honest, but still, with their threats in the receiving game, they can spread the field, and then let Mark Ingram pound the rock. I think they do. Okay, look, the Saints, as from a football perspective, are 0-2. If they want to turn their season around, then they need to look at kind of controlling the clock a little bit more, trying to eat up time in the running game, keep their defense off the field. To be honest, their defense didn't perform too poorly against New York. That whole shootout narrative going into the game just fell flat on its face. Now, they only gave up 16 points, but I don't think anyone is fooled by that and thinking that, oh, all of a sudden, New Orleans has a great defense. Yeah, nobody's saying that. So Mark Ingram, to me right now, is definitely a buy low.
Yeah.
Especially with the way that, you know, running backs are just falling off left and right. Well, actually, all players are falling off left and right, to be fair to the running back position. It's not just the running backs.
Yeah, the good news with Mark Ingram is he's healthy, and he's getting the majority of the carries on his team. And none of these are, like, electric running backs begging for carries behind him. He doesn't have, like, Derrick Henry behind him, who, like, you know, the situation with DeMarco Murray, where if he starts to underperform, he's going to lose work to Derrick Henry. That's not going to happen to Mark Ingram with Tim Hightower and Travaris Cadet behind him. He will continue to get the majority of carries. And the Giants seem to have a pretty sneaky good run defense this year, which is kind of surprising. But if you look at the Saints,
I was going to say they stuffed Zeke. Oh. Sorry. It's all delayed. Skype, good job.
Yeah, they stuffed Zeke, stuffed all of the Saints. But now his upcoming schedule in the next 2 weeks are Atlanta and San Diego. And we just saw the Raiders run all over Atlanta pretty easily. San Diego, you know, we saw Ware do it in week one. And they've had a horrible run defense for years. So these should be two bounce back weeks for him. You know, it's sort of like the touchdowns are coming. He's getting majority of the workload. And you hope that the Saints know they have to give him more than, you know, 9 carries a game. He's one of those running backs that seems to get better the more touches he gets too.
Yeah, I'm in on Mark Ingram, and like you said, he might go off in the next couple weeks. With all of these star players, the line is so thin. Like, your opportunity to get them is so small, because if they all of a sudden blow up, then right away the owner's like, okay, they're back.
Yeah.
That's all I need to see 1 week. Like, with Todd Gurley, if he goes off this week, people are going to be like, oh, he's back. He's elite again.
Yeah.
That's all it takes in fantasy, you know, short-term memory.
Yeah.
So Mark Ingram, now's the time. The time is ripe.
Yeah, the question is, who do you sell high, or who do you sell, period, to buy Mark Ingram? I think based off his production, you might be able to sling, like, do you think Willie Snead would be able to get you Mark Ingram?
Or is that Saints, like, a pipe dream? Saints trade? I mean, it might on a wide receiver needy team.
Yeah.
You might be able to slang Snead for Ingram. You might be able to trade. I mean, I kind of like the whole notion of getting two big pieces for a guy like Matt Forte.
All right.
Like, you could probably get, like, a Ingram and a Allen Robinson for Matt Forte right now, which would be a great deal. But in terms of guys that are lower tier, who would I trade right now to get Mark Ingram? Jeez, I don't know. I was going to say, like, Freeman, but that might kind of end up being a lateral move at this point.
Yeah, it's hard to say. The old Atlanta situation is so murky, because it looked like Coleman was going to just run away with the job after week one, but then Freeman outplayed him in week two. And so it's like, oh, is this just going to continue to be this split again, actually? Like, right now it's looking like it's just going to be an even split.
I think it is. I mean, it seems to be working for their offense. Freeman looked like the better runner last week, but then Coleman was still eating into his time. Coleman was the one who scored the touchdown. They played about 50% each again, so it's not a good situation in Atlanta right now. I don't know. I might try to trade, like, a Crow for Ingram.
You could probably do, like, Crow Plus, you know, like that. When I'm, you know, two for ones are always the best kinds of trades to make. So you're also opening up a bench spot, so then you pick someone up. But yeah, Crow Plus, like, maybe you package in, like, a wide receiver. Like, Crow plus Sneed. I don't know why we keep pointing out
there you
Sneed.
Go. You just Sneed, yeah. Crow plus Sneed. Yeah. Or you might be able to go Crow plus, who's another wide receiver that had, I don't know, Crow plus Mike Wallace?
That might get it done, yeah. I mean,
it might get it done, yeah.
Yeah, it's more team specific. You really kind of got to look at your team, look at exactly what they need, and then craft the trade that way. Not like, oh, Bench Dash said these two players will get me Ingram, and I have them. Let's try it. yeah, it's.
I mean, Crow for Ingram, one for one is what you do.
That's
try it.
After your whole spiel about, you know, I offer too much just to see how it goes. Yeah. You're like, oh, now try Crow for Ingram.
Crowfer, well, I mean, if you look at it, Crow for Ingram, it's not hateful at this point.
Based off of the raw numbers, it's not a bad offer. I'd be surprised if the Ingram owner took it, though, just because Ingram's a name and Crow's not a name. Just like all it's going to take for Gurley or Ingram is one good week for people to be like, oh, they're back. All it's going to take for Crow is one bad week for people to be like, oh, nope, never mind, he's awful.
Yeah, which could happen this week, unfortunately.
It's not going to happen. They're going to go sore and heavy. Crow's going to explode like a diaper.
You think Miami's going to be worried about the Cleveland passing game with no Coleman, no Gordon, no quarterback?
Terrell Pryor can play quarterback and wide receiver.
I saw that in Oakland, man. That was, Terrell Pryor is just going to be thrown to himself. We could have a situation where Julian Edelman and Terrell Pryor both play quarterback in the same week. Boom.
Is Terrell Pryor the emergency quarterback for the Browns? Who's their?
No, they just went. They went out and got a clipboard Jesus.
Oh, that's right. They did. Oh God. The thing with Cody Kessler though is that we don't know. We're just assuming he's bad because he's a rookie and he was the third string quarterback. But we're just assuming he's awful. There's a little ambiguity here.
And he's on
here.
Cleveland.
And he's on Cleveland. But he could come out and actually be good. You know who was a third round rookie quarterback once?
Oh God, here we go.
Russell
was
Wilson.
Oh man, yeah, but Cleveland.
Cleveland,
I feel bad.
Cleveland has drafted some good players. Coleman looked like he was going to be good before his hand exploded.
In practice, too, they just can't catch a break.
That's
talking about
the
practice.
How do you,
man?
Breaking your hand in practice is I want to know the exact details of how he broke his hand in practice. Like, what's going on? What are the trainers doing there? This is what happened.
Yeah, what is going on in practice this year? I mean, Teddy blew out his knee in practice. Mm-hmm. Like, his knee just is not there anymore.
No.
I don't know what
no,
he did.
He's down
just gone.
Knee. Yeah.
And then Coleman breaking his hand? Like, come on, man. This shouldn't be happening in practice.
Practice.
Cleveland. Practice, man.
Let's do one more buy low before we wrap this up. And that is going to be, this is another guy that you should be able to get just for free. And that is price check on Chris Ivory.
price check on Chris Ivory, who might've been dropped after week two.
I've seen that happen. Yeah. And in a league, this the league that
seen,
we're
and,
both
and
in.
One league that we're in. Yes.
Yeah. But that's kind of the point, is that he's kind of the same version of, he's like John Brown light in that sense of like, he hasn't played the game, period. He's been in the hospital for undisclosed reasons, which is really sketchy.
That's the sketchy part, but I think at this point you can go out and, try to get Chris Ivory for a low piece on your bench or just a bench piece because you want players like Chris Ivory on your bench who will come in. I don't know about this week because, he's barely practiced.
Yeah.
So, now is the time to get him, really, because if he comes in and shows, anything, maybe he splits the time with Yeldon this week, maybe he just gets a few carries to kind of warming him up a little bit, and he looks good, then people, with the way Yeldon's played, Jacksonville needs somebody in the running game. And right now, I think their plan is for Chris Ivory to be that guy. And owners of Chris Ivory probably aren't impressed. The general medical issues might be scaring them.
Yeah.
So he's definitely somebody you can go out and make an offer for. And you don't really need to sacrifice that much off your bench. Or actually, let's talk about a player we mentioned earlier.
Oh.
Jeremy Langford.
Yeah.
For Chris Ivory. I would make that trade.
I don't think I'd do that yet. I mean, I want to buy Chris Ivory. It's not that I like Langford more than Ivory. It's that I just think you can get more for Langford than Ivory. And you
might be able to, but
and you could probably buy Ivory for less than Langford.
You probably could, to be honest. Yeah.
I mean, who's
a name that you would trade for Chris Ivory?
Oh man, like wide receiver wise, if we're gonna do it like that, like Golden Tate, I would probably trade for Chris Ivory. He's been just so disappointing, but he is like a name. Like Alan Hearns, I'd give up.
You like trading on the same team within the same team, don't you? Sneed for Ingram, Hearns
really
for
like
Ivory.
That. Like, oh, let me get a different part of this offense. You know who I would trade actually that I think would get it done is like Emmanuel Sanders. I think I would do that for Ivory. Because he still has like the name of like, oh, Emmanuel Sanders, but that I don't really want a piece of that receiving offense right now. So I think I would do that.
Yeah. I mean, I would give Langford up, but then I might be biased because I would take anyone for Langford at this point.
I mean, who's someone else? Would you rather have Chris Ivory or Rashad Jennings the rest of the way?
I guess at this point I would have to say Jennings. Just because of the offense. They're a high scoring offense. We don't know what Jacksonville is going to be at this season. They haven't looked good. A-Rob has kind of regressed. Bortles is the same guy he was last year, where he heavily reliant on garbage time for anything. I don't know. I think Ivory's going to be this sneaky, like, early down and goal line back.
Oh, yeah.
That you can go out and get on the cheap right now. You don't even have to start him, but just having that luxury of a potential starter on your bench, then that is highly valuable.
Yeah, this is less about even, because, you know, we haven't seen Ivory this year. Who knows how good he's going to be? But this is less about him almost and more about how bad Yeldon's been filling in for him. I mean, in week one, he got 21 carries for a whopping 39 yards, 1.8 yards a carry. That's awful. And you can say, he's bad. He's a receiving back. That's more of his thing. Well, in week two against San Diego, he got 8 catches. For 10 yards. Like, Yeldon has been horrific
PPR
this year.
Monster.
Yeah, no, thank you, Yeldon. So it's almost like the opportunity's there. Yeldon was this popular zero RB target, which, like, the zero RB lobby is just stop talking about Yeldon after these last 2 weeks. Now that it's like, oh, wait, this isn't happening with Yeldon. But he was, like, a really popular target because it's like, well, he's a pass catcher. If he gets his opportunity, he'll run away with the job. Well, he got his opportunity, and he flew fat on his face. So
yeah, Yeldon has been not impressive whatsoever. And last week should have been the game prime for a pass catching back like TJ Yeldon. They were down the entire game. He did get the catches, but he went nowhere with them.
Yeah.
And his yards per carry after two games is 2.4, which is like replaceable status for a running back. That's like you go out and pick up Dexter McCluster on the waiver wire, and he's better than TJ Yeldon.
Yeah.
It hasn't been good, and if Chris Ivory shows that he is healthy, I think they're going to completely just give him the ship, essentially. They'll sprinkle in Yeldon because Ivory's kind of one of those violent runners who definitely needs to be spelled a period of time, but I think you'll see him come in. He'll be the first down back. He'll be the second down back. He'll be the goal line back. Might even take some third down. I mean, if it's short yardage, they're giving it to Chris Ivory. So Yeldon's playing time is going to decrease significantly. Ivory is kind of, I mean, he's in that RB3, low RB2 range, but he has a potential to work his way up to the mid RB2 range with his possible role in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen Ivory's ability to have these games where he explodes for huge games, at least early in the season when he's healthy. I think Ivory's a prime buy low. Okay. I think it's time to put a bow
on
this. To wrap her up.
But another thing with Ivory before we end is if he does come back and he has a couple of those games, because he is the type of runner that gets injured really easily or slows down as the season progresses. We saw that happen last year in New York, right? Mm-hmm. Started off guns blazing, was one of the best running backs in fantasy for like the first half of the season.
Yeah.
And then he really slowed down. Bilal Powell became a huge part of the offense in New York. And then they just went ahead and let him go this offseason. So Ivory could come in, you know, fresh. He hasn't been taking hits. You know, who knows what his medical issue is, but let's disregard that. He's, you know, he's in prime football condition. In my narrative, he is. Just go with me. He comes out, he puts up a few solid weeks, and then you flip him.
Yeah. He's a perfect candidate for that, for sure. Let him sort of reestablish himself in the RB2 conversation and then sell him before he potentially gets hurt again. Yeah, we saw that last year. He slowed down significantly after the first month of the season.
Yeah, because he's like Marshawn Lynch. He just runs at people's face.
Marshawn Lynch is a good comparison, except that Lynch in his prime, like, was just, it didn't hurt him at all to do it.
Yeah, he was a freak of nature.
Oh, I miss him every day. All right, let's wrap this up.
Miss him every day.
Marshawn, no.
Well, isn't he supposed to make his comeback? What's going on with that? That was news for like
it's
5 minutes.
It's not happening, is what that is. Like, it's weird because, like, the rumors started, but it didn't come from, like, anyone real. It didn't come from any real source. It didn't come from Marshawn. It was just like, hey, Marshawn might come back. Like, it just kind of appeared on Twitter as if out of nowhere.
And it was like, probably somebody that had a little bit of pull, leaked some information just so that somebody in their league would, like, make a hasty move and drop somebody to the wire. Like, oh, shit, Marshawn's coming back. I need to get on this. And then went out and dropped, like, a Chris Ivory to pick him up.
I did see, like, during that, like, few days that it was a thing, there was people being like, you know, I think it's a smart idea to stash Marshawn Lynch on the end of your bench because, like, he might come back and you're going to want him if he does.
I know, it's ridiculous. Keep an eye on Marshawn Lynch week 5 or 6.
Yeah, I think it stemmed from that he's in Australia playing with Cal there for some reason on their, like, scout team or something. Just like, and like, oh, man, he's still playing football. Never mind. He's coming back.
Scout team, like Jamal Charles.
Like Jamal about that base, Charles. We'll talk about him tomorrow, when we get one more day of practice so we can talk about, I guess, Warren Charles. That seems to be the popular subject.
Yep. All right, well, let's sign off. My name is Derek the Fantasy Slayer. Droz.
My name is Leo the Fantasy Peter Dinklage Kaliski. Fantasy Tyrion.
Fantasy Tyrion. Fantasy will tear Tyrion. You apart.
Tyrion you up.
Meow. Meow. And we fall flat on our face a la TJ Yeldon.
A la TJ Yeldon. All right.
In this pod, let's cut it. We're out. Bench-FF.
There we go. Follow us on Twitter, Bench-FF. Like, subscribe, comment, share with your friends. Find us on Facebook. If you're listening to this on iTunes, we will be back tomorrow with another episode where we'll be talking about sneaky starts, and we'll do the keeping score segment too. That'll probably be the whole
sneaky
episode.
I hope you listened to us last week.
Yeah, like the first like 10 minutes of tomorrow is going to be us taking victory laps on sneaky starts. How like we got? I don't know what percentage because we rattled off a lot of names, but we probably got like 8 or 9 guys right last week on sneaky starts.
That's probably like 140%.
Probably 140. Yeah, more guys than we named somehow.
Yeah, exactly. Because we were thinking about them. Yeah. We just didn't name them.
Yeah, in my head, they're all right. Okay. Thank you for listening. Catch you on the flippy floppy.
Bye-bye.